Harbaugh now heads the Los Angeles Chargers.
He wins everywhere. He wins, period.
Justin Herbert, he's a crown jewel.
Well, you guys better enjoy this.
Quick snap, Herbert to throw.
Has a man, touchdown.
The fans loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin
Herbert on the move and throws.
I was just trying to show off,
man. We're going to be known as world champions. And we're going to do it or die trying. Don't let the powder blues fool you.
Who's got it better than that? Yeah!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Wool Dog, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
What's up, buddies?
Well, let's not forget Kyle the Coach Duggan.
See, that's how it's done. I tried to do an intro on my Patreon, and I didn't know what to do. I froze.
What do I do with my hands? Adam.
I was thinking about it. Without Adam, we don't have any glue. We would just be like two pieces of paper just hitting each other. You know what I mean? There would be nothing good about it.
Completely
well,
agree.
That's what that I'm here
a weird
for,
analogy.
Pieces I'm here to glue.
Hitting each other.
I'm here to glue it all together, baby. So, yeah. All right, folks. Well, there has been some stuff happening this past week. Lots to talk about. We've got a new segment lined up for you with our newest member of the Charger Chat family, NFL Mike, coming in with a hot segment. Can't wait to check it out. Oh, I can't wait. And we've also got an Ask Bolt fam lined up for you, so let's waste no time. Start at the top. This little tidbit's been floating around, and I saw it floating around early on when we got Jim Harbaugh, but they wanted to remind us that Jim Harbaugh returns to the NFL as the active leader in career win percentages right now. He is sitting at a .695 with a 44-19-1 record. Next is Matt LaFleur, Nick Sirianni, Bill Belichick. He ain't active no more. And Andy Reid, baby.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur didn't. I don't remember that. That doesn't sound right, but cool. You know?
Yeah.
Cool.
Good for them. He's what a nice change of pace. We actually have a head coach, like first year with us head coach that has a record to speak of. It's not a first time head coach that's 0-0 coming into the Chargers.
Right.
So yeah, not only does he have a record, but he has the highest win percentage with over 60 games as a sample size. So yeah, I don't know. As if we needed more to be excited about for Jim Harbaugh.
It is nothing to sneeze at. And yes, this is the type of leadership this team needs. This team deserves Jim Harbaugh. God love you. And let's see what else has been happening.
And we do too.
And we do too here at the Charger Chat. All right. Well, those that thought our wide receiver room was getting a little too big for its britches wasn't ready to see us sign DJ Chark. As he agreed to
DJ Chark.
And they have agreed to terms. Yes, it's a 1-year deal worth up to $5 million. That's not too bad.
Dude, everyone is on a 1-year deal on our team. We're going to have a whole nother crazy free agency next year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I like it. I mean, 1-year deals are, I don't know. It feels like a win-win for player and organization, especially in a situation like the Chargers are in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, if they go out and kill it, cool. Give them another deal if we love them that much. Or it's we just bought some time to get some cheaper players in free agent in the draft next year. And you have a lot of these opportunities for compensatory picks that these guys end up walking and we don't trade them or re-sign them. So that Joe Ortiz compensatory pick strategy feels like it's in full force right now.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
And it's interesting too, because we picked up 3 free agents from the Panthers. Like the Panthers were so bad last year, everyone was like,
"Yeah,
oh, I'm out of here. Oh, get me out of here." And we had we got 3 offensive players. We got our center, we got a tight end, and we got DJ Chark. So this is clearly a team people feel like they can come to and improve their status. I think that's how I'm looking at it. They're going to improve their status and give them a chance for an even bigger contract next year with us, or proving to everyone, you know, I can be really good playing with Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also, there's some people inside of our group chat, our Charger Chat fantasy football group chat, that aren't happy about all these Panther signings. But as we all know, as Chargers, you can have really good football players on a team and still not perform well as a team.
Right. Sure.
It is a team game. So just because the Panthers were not very good last year doesn't mean these guys weren't just sleeping giants, like not being used to their highest potential, coaches putting him in the wrong positions. Like we've seen that time and time again as Charger fans. So
yeah,
I don't see just because they were coming from the Panthers means that they're not good football players. They're on a bad team that was not managed well. And towards the end of the season, yeah, you're probably not playing well, just like a lot of the Charger players last year, because your team sucks. So you lose some of that momentum and that like encouragement to play well. DJ Chark is a 1,000-yard receiver. Like he had a 1,000-yard season when he was with a decent team. So when he was in Jacksonville. So I think this is a win. Again, it's a 1-year deal. You're paying him $5 million, which not breaking the bank. We were going to pay Keenan and Mike $30 million apiece last year. And now you're signing guys like this to $5 million deal that has a lot of upside. And he's a deep ball guy. Like he's going to fill some of that void that Mike Williams, Quentin Johnson's not that guy. We all know that. He's just not that guy. Now, Brendan Rice, DJ Chark can be kind of that competitor for who's going to be the big body that's going to go down the field and make some of those big catches. Because we know Josh Palmer also not like a big catch radius, go up and get. Well, I guess he has the potential to do that, but that's not like his thing. And then Ladd McConkey, again, not like a big catch radius, go up and get it guy. DJ Chark makes some pretty contested catches. Watch his highlights that the Chargers put out. He's going over guys. He tracks the ball incredibly well. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a great signing on a guy that came off of a bad season that can now prove to the league that he still got it.
Yeah. I think the big question mark, though, with DJ Chark, I think the number he had with the Panthers was 17.
17. He ain't getting that shit.
Be 17 over here, buddy.
That's not going to happen, DJ.
Not around here, boy. Not around here.
That's not going to be your number, but we look forward to what number you do decide on.
Yes.
But is 13 available?
I don't know. That would be too weird. That would be too weird.
That would be
way too weird.
But it's there.
Because that feels like a Ring of Honor kind of player.
It does, but one season after, right after, maybe it's probably like a respect thing. He probably won't do it.
Please don't. There's so many numbers to choose from. Please don't pick that one. But yeah, weird. Dude, over the last two seasons, Chark has averaged 15.8 yards per catch, the sixth best average in the NFL among players with at least 65 receptions over that span. Come on.
Yeah.
Deep ball.
He's
guy.
Just been jumping around.
Justin's going to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's just been jumping around, not consistently with a quarterback the last couple of years. So, yeah. You know, if he can do this without the consistency, let's get a really good quarterback and get him a chance.
No, I'm very excited. Some of his highlights, I remember seeing him with Jacksonville and being like, oh, this is going to be, he's going to be a good wide receiver. And then I can't believe he's been in the league as long as he has. But that's some of that veteran status that I think this team is looking for. And, we might not stop there because it was also tweeted out that former Chiefs wide receiver Marquise Valdez-Scantling is scheduled to visit with the Chargers on Monday.
Today,
yeah, as it's going on right now. So
I will say I watched a lot of Packer football with my wife, and he did some great stuff there. So I just
our receiver room is crazy.
The amount of competition that room is going to have is going to be cutthroat, dude. It's going to be cutthroat.
Yeah. It's just like sheer numbers. Like we don't carry that many receivers, especially with what they're going to do with multiple tight ends and all these linemen. Like how many receivers are we going to carry on the active roster? And right now we have 8 in the receiver room right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
That might
crazy,
be just the whole practice squad is just all wide receivers.
Seriously, yeah.
Well, and it'll be interesting too, because with the kickoff rules this upcoming year, you got 2 receivers back there. True. So yeah. DJ Chark was a great receiver, a great return guy. And Darius, I feel like one of those guys, they're both going to make the team. And like you have a lot of options because you're going to have to put 2 guys back there because you can't cover, you know, it's just a different kind of setup than what it used to be. So I think teams are looking at it differently.
Mm. Well, we will have to wait and see if Mr. Scantling comes over to the Chargers.
Crazy. We add Marquez. We go from like, we don't value wide receivers to also everyone wanted an LSU wide receiver in the draft. You just got an LSU wide receiver in free agency. So
yeah, 2018. Check it.
Yeah. Prior to going into the draft, it was just like, well, who's Justin Herbert going to go throw to? And now we draft 3 more. We signed DJ Chark. Scantling might be coming too. So it's just like, good Lord. It just went from 0 to 100 in like 0.5 seconds. So
good golly, Miss Molly.
And we've got some fast guys on this team. It was also tweeted out by REJ. Chargers current wide receiver 40-yard dash times. Chark is at 4.34. Darius Davis, 4.36. McConkey, 4.39. Cornelius Johnson, 4.44. Fajoco, 4.44. Johnston, 4.49. Brendan Rice, 4.5. And Josh Palmer, 4.52.
Josh Palmer's the slow guy in the room.
Yikes. All of a sudden. Yeah. How did
the
that
old
happen?
Slow guy. Well, and we always talked about wanting speed. Well, look what you just did. You got three guys that are sub 4.4 40 times. That's fast, dude. Yeah. We saw how fast Darius Davis was last year. I'm excited to see if he can do anything at wide receiver because he's just
going to be tough to break into that room, man.
This is going to be a crowded room
I'm excited to see how they evaluate him, you know, and how this new staff is going to attack this because. Mm-hmm. There's guys that are not making the roster. Like, I'm just looking at this right now. Sure, I think Simi Fajoco probably won't make the roster. And hopefully Cornelius Johnson makes it on the practice squad if you were to look at it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Then it leaves you with six. So, I don't know.
That's a healthy wide receiver room for sure.
Well, until Valdez Scantling in
here. Yeah, then that all goes out the window. Who even knows what'll happen? So, that's crazy.
Yeah. Our brother from another podcast, Dan W., over at Chargers Unleashed, put out, according to OTC figures, Keenan Allen's $34.7 million 2024 cap hit for the Chargers, if they did not trade or restructure, would have been higher than the 2024 cap hit of every LAC 2024 free agent signed to date, combined with room to spare. So because of letting Keenan Allen go, which, trust me, it no still hurts saying that. You're talking about getting...
You got 14 players.
Yeah.
14.
Bozeman, our new center.
For one player.
Two tight ends. We got Perryman back, Troy Dye, Puna Ford, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, Christian Fulton, DJ Chark, Alohi Gilman, Easton Stick, Cameron Dicker, Foster Sorrell. All of these guys are here now because of that one player. And again, I'm not mad at Keenan Allen. I'm mad at Telesco for putting us in this situation, son of a bitch.
But that's wild how they're constructing this roster now. You look at that. Like, that's significant, man. That's how you rebuild and flip a roster. There's guys in here that are going to contribute. Like, a lot of these are starters.
Yeah.
So, you know, just getting used to the idea of not having Keenan Allen. It's still going to be weird the first game when he's not out there playing for us. That's why I hope nobody wears 13. I don't think it'll happen. Yeah. That'll break me into pieces. But
that'll be rough.
I saw this. Great work, Dan, finding all that out because that's fascinating stat.
Yeah.
This is the identity shift, right? Like, Keenan Allen is an incredible receiver. Obviously, we loved him, but you're able to recreate the identity and like the draw, like what you're trying to do with the football team overhaul with one player getting traded.
Yeah.
And you picked up an extra draft pick out of it. Like, the further this goes along, it's like, okay, at least we can see the vision that they had for this. It wasn't just a, hey, you're not willing to work with us. See you later. Mm-hmm. You know?
Crazy. Yeah.
It's a brand new day for the Chargers right now. And that also includes one of our previous wide receivers, Jalen Guyton, who just as we started to record this, we found out that he is headed over to the Raiders. Reteaming up with Tom Telesco and that group. So sucks. I always like Guyton, obviously, because he's one of the highlights for Justin Herbert for that big deep bomb.
A Giants bomb.
Against the Giants game, obviously. That was
awesome.
Huge. And we always wanted to see him come back last year after that injury because it was just like, all right, Guyton, time to shine. Bring back some of that Giants deep ball football back in. It just never
wasn't there.
Never came to be. And it is what it is. Sad to see him go, and even sadder to see him go to the Raiders, but
I know. I wish he could go somewhere where it's like, I wish him the best.
Exactly. But I can't. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't wish you the best now. You did this to yourself.
We'll see him twice a year. We got that.
Got that going for us.
We get to check in with him twice a year. How's your mom and them? All that good stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine. You folks can see us more than twice a year. You can see us once a week over at Patreon, patreon.com/chargerchat. All the funny, silly videos, behind the scenes, special stuff, things going on at patreon.com/chargerchat. It's good old time. You should go check it out. But if you don't want to, it's fine. You can go on over to our regular website, chargerchat.com. Check out all the cool stuff we got over there, t-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in the member section and ask questions and ask Bolt fam. So go check out chargerchat.com. All right, folks, time to go on to the next segment. It's a fan focus. And this might be a repeat. I think it's a repeat.
This is a special one that we have.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maybe a year and a half ago, and this guy's energy, his level of excitement, he's been a fan for a very long time.
Ooh,
so getting his thoughts on this new coaching staff and this new roster was pretty fun.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, guys, we are back with another fan focus, and we are super lucky to have Tony from New York. What is going on, Tony? We talked to you a little over a year ago, and I was like, there's one guy we got to get back on here to talk about Charger football. It's Tony. We got to get him on. So how you been, man?
I've been very well, thank you. To all my fans, a few that knew Brian Rick, that I became a grandpa in August, and it's the greatest thing that ever happened. She had her Charger gear on that I bought through the NFL thing, and we won that game, thank God.
That's awesome.
And there'll be another Charger fan. Hopefully she'll bring the luck that we never really got over these years.
I love it. I'm pulling for that. And I want to ask you, since we talked last, we were getting all excited about Staley and all that and didn't go so well. So what are your kind of thoughts on from the last time we talked and the team and kind of where we are, you know, to where we're up to now?
So what caught my mind was when Herbert got in the first game he played, when the quarterback got hurt, and this kid, okay, you got the ball. And every Charger fan who's been a Charger fan for up to, you know, before Rivers and maybe those into Faust and further back with me, we saw something that day we weren't expecting to see. We saw a young man throw the ball, run for a touchdown, knock a linebacker out of the game, and every Charger fan had to know we had something special there. And so the following season, when the coach got fired and they brought in the new coach Staley and his team, I'm sure every Charger fan wanted to work. We all do. That's their family. We want nobody to go bad. But for me, like, I think where Staley failed was he didn't know how hard it is to make the playoffs. Like that game against the Raiders.
Yeah.
They should have went for the tie.
Yeah.
Take the tie. Give somebody the taste. Give the boys the taste. And the year two, Herbert got hurt the second game of the year. And year three, he got hurt again. And there was something missing. There was something missing to our team that we as all fans, I don't know, never really saw why we would always lose the games in the fourth quarter. There had to be a reason. And I was skeptical at first of Jim Harbaugh. Forgot he was a Charger QB. I was thinking, you know, I wanted to see somebody with a ring. Somebody who was in that field, had that ring, and could look a player in the face and say, I know what it is to make this ring happen. And they went in this direction. And I give Dean credit because Dean, again, said to show the fans, this is a place where money can happen for him, for the organization, because it's L.A.
Yeah.
It's a larger market. They can have that market. And now they have the players. And we went in this direction. And, like, I rely more on you guys on evaluating the talent because I don't have enough time, not that the time, but to watch all the college players. So I just get my feeling. But I felt that the way you build a team, you got to have the war. You want that quarterback in this day and age, anybody can throw the ball because of the rules.
Yeah.
So The only thing that stops you from throwing the ball is when the QB is on his back.
Yeah.
Where he's out of the game, where he's running for cover. So I thought the first pick was a great pick. Make that wall, make it hard for them to get to our QB, make the running backs work. And if they're going to mimic how the Ravens got to the Super Bowls, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And that's how I sort of seen this play out. And I personally think that this draft, just from listening to the other podcasts and your own, that they put together a plan. They had specific players for specific positions that can make things work as a whole. Like the guy they got, the third round pick, I think he's going to be a starter.
Yeah, Junior Colson. Yeah, linebacker. And we just got lucky, too, because in that draft, there were guys that hit him falling to us in the third. And the way it kind of unfolded, it was like these perfect little situations that landed nicely with patience and, you know, the plan. Like you said, they clearly had a plan going into this draft.
And the second round pick, the receiver?
Yeah, McConkey, yeah.
He's fast. McConkey, he's fast.
Yeah, and, he's, you know, he's quick.
You know who I saw? I saw the guy Renfro from the Raiders. I saw the guy from Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, Kupp.
And I seen some of Charlie Joyner in him. Because Charlie Joyner was the guy that when Rivers had to get that ball over the middle, Charlie would be right there in between the guys and get that. Not Rivers, Faust.
Yeah.
Get right over the middle and get that ball.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted that. I think they wanted that person for Herbert.
Yeah.
Besides the outside guys. I think they wanted it. So as they progressed, we found something out about our team. Our team can win. It's the NFL. It's geared to win. And the Chargers win. It helps everybody else. It helps our fans. It helps the media. And it helps the NFL because they have a great market. But I think that this staff had a plan from every pick. I even felt it was great karma getting Jerry Rice's son.
Oh, yeah. Brendan Rice. Yeah.
Jerry Rice is going to be on our sideline.
Let's go. That's what I need. We'll get as many of those guys as we can. We'll take them all.
The first exhibition game, it was in the 80s. And the Chargers were playing. It was a Saturday game. So it was on TV in New York. It was an exhibition game. And John Madden was doing the play-by-play. And this kid was opening up the Chargers. And that was Jerry Rice. And Madden was talking about this guy. Wow, he's going to be special. The rest is history. But sometimes there are things there. You see, and I remember seeing that. And I says, wow, this guy is great. This guy will be great. Whatever his son turns out, his son, he's still got the DNA in him.
Sure.
And he's got the right people and our staff. And I think everybody is going to help each other become better, because at the end of the day, you want to hold that Lombardi up in the air. Like I was hoping we were going to do that already. Mm-hmm. You know, the Jacksonville game is the reason we went in this direction, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
With the type of players. We had that lead. We were on the road, but we had that lead and we couldn't just put the ball away.
Yeah.
The team away, right? With the running game and a couple of mistakes. And before you know it, we're back to where we started. So the last year, whatever reason it took to fire Staley, no one wants to see anybody lose a job, but they had a plan. I give them credit. Whatever people were in the room, they got rid of Telesco. Whoever in the room, they reached out. I mean, there was Belichick out there. There was
Vrabel from the Titans.
Vrabel from the Titans. There was other people out there, and he went in this direction. He took the guy who won the college championship, and I think he's got a plan. Like even that defensive tackle that they took from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I realized, he took players from good schools.
Yeah.
All schools are good, but schools that have the money and to invest in a player to teach them the games at the right level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this defensive tackle is going to help out.
Yeah. Most of our players came from the college playoffs. If you think about it that way, most of those teams were in the playoffs this last year.
So that says a lot, because that says a lot to pressure, handling the pressure. You know, whether you're a 19-year-old kid and you got 90 million people watching you, that's pressure. Or you're a 40-year-old man and you're in the Super Bowl or in a playoff game, that's pressure. So that's something that they're not going to be shocked when they get on that big field. And they've had that already instilled in them by those coaching staffs. So I'm psyched, as I always were every year since 1964, to all my fans out there, when I give you the peace. I know glory and I know pain. And the thing I always like to talk about and mention is, you know, a lot of people wanted the receiver at the beginning of the draft, you know? Mm-hmm. We went to the Super Bowl with only one person who was in the Hall of Fame, and that was Junior. That was a blue-collar team. They beat the Dolphins at home. They went to Pittsburgh. They beat, and then we lost to Rice and that.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the coach held them together. That man was a good coach. A couple years that he was there, he was a good coach, and they made it work. For Stan Humphries, to me, Stan Humphries was he wasn't afraid of nothing.
Yeah.
And he was a good quarterback, and he got us to the show. And I think that's what players got to look at, the determination, not just the glitter, but it's the hard work. It's the people in the bottom get together and make it happen. I look at that team, that 94 team, because I can still see myself where I am right now, seeing that happen. It was a 1 o'clock game in New York. And so if you were in California for that game, you had to watch that game at 9 o'clock in the morning? Or
I think so. Usually the games are at like noon. I can't remember, but I don't remember. It might've been different.
It was a 1 o'clock game because there was two games that day.
That's right.
Even the first game. So it was a 1 o'clock game in New York. It had to be 3 hours earlier.
Yeah. So yeah, 100%. Yeah.
California. So, but I was happy. It carried me all week. I was on the talk shows in New York saying how the Chargers could win that game. And they were saying, you know, they got to play a perfect game, you know, and, this is what it is. And what else did I write down
for you? Yeah, guys? You brought some notes. Let's get them out. I want to get all your thoughts.
Okay. The coaches had a plan. Run more than less, but they will throw the ball. You're not gonna just expect the Chargers to just throw the ball right at the beginning. They're gonna set you up, and then we haven't seen that young man have the protection to sit back and not have to panic with somebody in his face. If you look at all the games where he had time, he can find receivers. Now, QJ should have a year under his belt. He's seeing that there's more talent around him. He was working out, I saw, with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
He can only get better. He'll learn. Who wouldn't want to get better in this league?
Sure.
I was a carpenter by trade. I seen other carpenters better than me when I started the business. You want to become better. It helps you stay employed.
Sure.
And so.
It's a good point.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, yeah. Here's another thing I take. When you go forward, I always go back. There were two teams in football that didn't really have much at the time. One team was Pittsburgh. So the coach of the Chargers told the owner of the Steelers, take one of my assistants. So they hired this guy named Chuck Noll. And what does Chuck Noll do at Pittsburgh? He puts together a defensive line, an offensive line, a quarterback who can throw the ball, and a running back who could run the ball. And they did all good. He combined good offense, good defense, offensive line, defensive line, and he made it work. Mm-hmm. Four rings there from Don Coryell. No, from Sid Gilman. Don Coryell suggested to the Redskins that they take his offensive coach. What did Joe Gibbs do? He had the Hogs. He had Riggins. and he had the three receivers. And he won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. That tells you the system works.
Sure.
No, who? No, I think anybody would have done that before. Yeah, and he had the running game, and he threw the ball. And I think that that premise, that that way of thinking of stop us, beat us, that's my mantra. Beat us. If you beat us, you're better than us. Because the games we lost to Kansas City, some of the games we lost ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. Did it to ourselves at the end. Most of the time in that fourth quarter, we would self-inflicted wound.
The one when Kelce took the ball to the house.
I feel like that's happened multiple times.
That's what I'm saying. So there was like, there was something missing within the team. Like there was no leader. And just to segue to when they put the team back, I thought Bosa was going to be history. I thought Bosa was going to be traded or let go. I think when Mac agreed, that was a big move for Mac, agreed to take the cut and stay on board because that guy is a leader.
Oh, yeah.
That guy leads by example. And I think we're getting Joey to do that, too, sets the stage. We've got pretty good offensive, defensive line now. We didn't want Mike to go. We didn't want Keenan to go. But at the end of the day, it's a business.
Yeah.
It's a business.
And bring in some new blood and see what our quarterback can do. Hopefully, doesn't matter who he's throwing to. Give him enough time. Let him do his magic, you know?
Let him not have to have guys in his face because that's how, that's how come his balls get tipped.
Yeah.
Because they're too close to him.
Sure.
Because of that rush. And for a guy 6'5" to have the balls tipped on him, there's got to be a reason. The guys are not jumping up. He's just not getting the ball over the arc.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen a real comfortable game for him to be able to like, hey, okay, I'll hit you with 10 passes a game, but I'll still get 200 yards.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all for that. All for that.
And we all want to see the run game work, you know? Mm-hmm. We had it with LT. We don't have an LT, but we had an opportunity to make the... So, again, I'm going to lean back on you guys with, like, the two guys that we got from the Ravens. The second guy I heard is the younger guy who had the Achilles. That
Dobbins, he's 100%. Yeah.
And Dobbins is like he's like a fast guy that goes inside the hole, right?
And he's powerful and he, you know, just a bruiser, but he's got a lot of lateral quickness. The question is the injuries. Like, he seems like a player that we got that could be really exciting and awesome if he can stay healthy because he's just a stud. You know what I mean? Ohio State running back in the day and just was too injured. Whenever he was out on the field at Baltimore, he was playing really well. So let's hope that he can be healthy, and that could be really great for a running game.
One of the podcasts today, when I was watching it, the Chargers Unleashed, they mentioned this other running back that we got in the later round that they think he was just a real steal.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. We have a completely different room. So it's going to be interesting to see how they utilize them. And we still got some players hanging on, like Isaiah Spiller's still there. Like, we have a pretty full running back room right now. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. And, you know, for my last question for you, like, what are you most looking forward to this season? What is the one thing that, you know, of all your years of being a fan and kind of seeing what's kind of developed in front of us, what are you most looking forward to seeing?
To be there opening day. I am coming to California so I can meet my family.
Let's go. Are you really? You coming?
Yes, I am. I'm going to probably reach out to you to find let me know where's the best place to stay close by so I don't 100%. Have to navigate.
100%.
But at the end of the day, when you have the opportunity to meet family, that's a great thing.
Oh, and, man, I'm excited.
I don't gamble. So it's not like I'm a fan that makes money on sports. It's like, to me, that's like a sacrilege, you know? I'm a fan. That's it. That's my thing. When I go to heaven, if I die, hey, the guy didn't smile when he made money because his team lost. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people can.
Yeah.
I can't do that. So I think when you guys were at that Thunder Rally, it's called?
Yes, sir.
And that's near the stadium?
Yeah, it's in the parking lot. It's in the pink lot.
It's like when they see me and I meet my friends, it's like being with my family. Let's and that's how I'm going to be that day. And hopefully, I don't know where we're going to open, whether we open at home. I wonder who they're going to make Kansas City play. They sort of picked that game, right?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we're week one at home or if we're, you know, on some big primetime game week one somewhere else. But, you know, the first game, if you're there, man, you got to let us know, because I cannot wait to meet you in person.
I will hug everybody there because I watch all your shows, as many as I can, and that's all one happy family. For me, like, again, to all the fans, it would cost me 75 cents in the 60s to get a newspaper called the Pro Football Weekly, which was a lot of money. And once a week, I could get an article on my Chargers. Then in the night, and then in like the 2000s, the computer I used to subscribe to, the Union Tribune, and I would get AC's, Sullivan's, Nick Canepa's. I would print them out of my office, take them home, and then read them over the weekend. Like, that was my newspaper.
Awesome.
This opportunity to interact visually and verbally and to be in person with the family is like when I was a kid and I went back to Italy with my mother and father, and my father had seen his mother for the first time, and I met all my relatives there. I still see their faces because it was family. And I have my daughters, I have my grandchild. The Chargers are my family. That's it.
Time for a big reunion, man. We got to get you out here.
Yes, yes. And to your brother and to the big guy, I miss his interpretation. His mimicry. He is so great at that.
It was fun, dude. Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to get together. You let us know however we can help to get you out there. We're going to do it.
We get the schedule. I'll send you like a DM to let you know I'm coming out there. I'll get my ticket. And I'll meet up with everybody.
We'll get you set up, dude. We'll get you set up. We'll take you down to Thunder Alley.
Hey, why not? Thank you so much. And we're going to do it. And to let everybody know, when they put goats out there, like, Allworth is my goat.
Yeah.
The man who sent me his jersey is my goat. I seen that man play. That's like, you know, you're a Charger and they win the Super Bowl. He's got to be there.
Sure.
He's got to be there.
That would be awesome.
First man in the AFL Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Love it.
Thank you.
All right.
All the best.
Man.
Peace.
We appreciate you, Tony. Thank you for your time, man.
Say hello to your brother, your family, your kids. Save the money. Their clothes are going to grow. School's going to come.
Yes, sir.
And I paid for two colleges, brother. So you got to.
I hit you up for some advice on that later. I'll DM you. You give me some advice.
I'll be watching the show. Have a great day. Give my best to everybody.
Will do, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Tony, I mean, I'm grinning from ear to ear that entire time, dude. You're such a heartfelt fan that has been through more than we have. I'll say that. I mean, we've been through some stuff together here, especially in this past couple of years. But, Manischewitz, man, you are just, you're a dyed-in-the-wool Chargers fan, and I am here for it.
Let's go. And first game at SoFi, get over here, dude.
Please.
Come in. Don't call me hugging for nothing.
I'm coming
for you, dude.
Yeah, I am. My eyes, I'm going to be scanning. I'm going to be looking for you, Tony. And I better find you. Well, I got some guys. They're going to come in.
I love him so much.
They're going to find you, Tony. I don't know how to.
And Tony, congrats on being a grandpa.
Yes. Congratulations, so dude. That is awesome. Congrats, dude.
Enjoy every second.
Let's hope that's a lucky grandbaby. I'm hoping. My fingers are crossed.
I know. I've had four kids, and every time I'm like, this is the one.
Bunch of losers. Not yet.
One of these times.
One of these days.
I'm all done. So I didn't.
No, same.
All done.
So there you go. Tony, thank you for coming and chatting with my man Kev. Always good to see you, buddy. And I'm excited to see you again. So thank you yet again. Thanks, man. All right, gang. It is time to go on to this new segment. It doesn't really have a name, does it? It's just...
I think he might reveal a little bit.
Does he? Okay. Well, I know it's with NFL Mike. What's it called? I don't know. I'm going to find out.
Bull fam, Chargers chat listeners, welcome to the first ever NFL Mike Bold of the Week. I'm NFL Mike, an NFL content creator that covers football 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and twice on Sunday. I'm not just a massive NFL fan or a massive football fan, but also probably that crazy Chargers fan you've seen on your timeline so many times. I've been a Chargers fan my whole life, taking my fandom from Qualcomm Stadium all the way overseas to Japan, where I competed in Japan's X League, and then all the way back home to Los Angeles, California, where I reside today. You often see me at Thunder Alley or in the stands screaming my head off and just having a blast, being super passionate about my favorite team. I am so excited to bring this new segment to the Chargers Chat podcast and get more involved specifically in Chargers content. Thank you guys for giving me the platform and the chance. Thanks for lending me your ears so I could talk for a while. First, let me explain what the Bold of the Week segment even is. Every time you guys see me here on the Chargers Chat podcast, I'll be selecting a new Charger to take a deep dive looking up their history. How did they get to where they are today? And how did they become one of all of our favorite players? I'm going to be going back to these guys' Pop Warner days. And hopefully we all learn some new stuff about some of our favorite Chargers. So right now, before you forget, comment which Charger you want to see me cover on my next segment. Each week, I'll be going to these comment sections and just checking to see who got the most votes. Whoever got the most votes will be featured in the next episode. But for the first episode, I get to pick the Charger. So I picked one of my favorite players on the team, Asante Samuel Jr. Some of y'all know him as Zon. Asante Samuel is one of my favorite players on the team is because, for one, I played corner. And as a corner in high school, I was always super undersized. So that way, when I did end up going overseas to play in Japan, I just got in the weight room and got bigger. That's exactly what Asante Samuel Jr. did to improve his game from high school through college and into the NFL. And now the man's an absolute dog. But starting from the very beginning, Asante Samuel Jr. was born October 19th of 1999 in Sunrise, Florida. But his football journey started way before he was ever born. Because when Asante was born, his dad, Asante Samuel Sr., was just beginning his college football career. College football career that would lead him into being drafted by the best defensive coach in the history of the sport. Bill Belichick would take Asante Samuel Sr. in the fourth round. And Samuel Sr. did not disappoint Bill. He became a multiple-time All-Pro safety in the league, led the NFL in interceptions multiple times as well. And by Asante Samuel Jr.'s sixth birthday, he was watching his dad intercept passes in the Super Bowl, helping to send the Patriots into a back-to-back championship-winning era, and eventually an entire dynasty. So you could say Asante Samuel Jr. grew up in a football household, but that would be an understatement. Football was a way of life for Zonk growing up. Covered receivers like he breathed oxygen. However, what I especially like about Asante Samuel Jr.'s story, always had this urge to raise above his dad's legacy. Because ASJ didn't necessarily get all these skills from Pops. In interviews multiple times, he's made it very clear that because his dad was on the road all the time, they kind of grew apart and they kind of have a distant relationship to this day. And Zont has made it very clear that he wants to stand on his own legacy. And that the comparisons to his dad and his dad always being brought up alongside his name only motivates him to be better than his dad. Like I said, a multiple time All-Pro, member of back-to-back Super Bowl winning team that were won off the backs of defense in the secondary. All of this is why Asante Samuel Jr. got to work extremely young. When AJ was a child, Samuel Sr.'s mom, his grandma, actually kind of raised him. In fact, she was the one who got him started playing football. Parents, don't ever do this to your kid. But I guess when Asante was 4 years old, Grandma Chris decided to white out the date on Asante Samuel's birth certificate. That way that she could change the date and have him start playing football as six-year-olds at a very, very young age, 2 years younger than all of them. And apparently, he destroyed all the six-year-olds at four. This obviously carried over into Pop Warner football, and Asante Samuel Jr. would eventually attend a historic high school football program. St. Thomas Aquinas High School in Fort Lauderdale, Florida is known for producing NFL stars. Fun fact, this is the same high school that both Nick and Joey Bosa attended. And even more fun of a fact, this is the high school where current Chargers wide receiver one Josh Palmer went to at the same time that Asante Samuel Jr. did. These guys went from covering each other every day at practice in high school to now covering each other every single day at practice in the NFL for the Los Angeles Chargers. What a story. Zart ended up a four-star recruit, missing out on that fifth star simply because of size concern. 5'10", 166 pounds, but he heard the critics. So despite his size disadvantage, he decided he wanted to go compete with the best of the best in the country and committed to Florida State, otherwise known as DBU. Arriving to Florida State just a year after the Los Angeles Chargers drafted another defensive back you guys may know pretty well. By the end of of his freshman year, Asante Samuel Jr. had put on 20 pounds of muscle. And by his senior year, despite dealing with multiple injuries, he was one of the best cornerbacks in the country. He picked off 4 passes while a corner at DBU, setting up the former All-American high school player to get an invite to the NFL Combine, where he ran a 4.4 40-yard dash and definitely raised his draft stock a ton, faster than his dad's 4.5 40-yard dash 20 years prior, by the way, and earned an 87 overall draft prospect grade by expert. But because of these size concerns, even now at 180 pounds, he slid into the second round. And former Cardinals GM Steve Keim has come out and said that he was going to draft Asante Samuel Jr. with the 49th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, but instead had to go with Rondale Moore because...
With the 47th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Chargers select Asante Samuel Jr., DB, Florida State.
Well, lucky us, we got him with the 47th overall pick just before he's about to be taken. While Rondale Moore is now a Falcon and Steve Keim, well, let's just say he's probably not getting any more GM jobs anytime soon. And I remember, everyone thought that this was a slot corner, but ASJ has stepped up to the plate and hit a home run outside at outside cornerback. As a rookie, he was laying the boom, forcing fumbles inside the 5 in his first career game. He locked down elite route runners such as Amari Cooper one-on-one in the red zone and was making Superman interceptions on Patrick Mahomes. Even as a rookie, he was running down the field with the likes of Justin Jefferson, Cortland Sutton, even Nico Collin. And then when Devontae Adams was traded to the Las Vegas Raiders a year later, Asante Samuel Jr. was given another opportunity to shine. And shine he did, making one of the best interceptions I've ever seen as a Chargers fan. I was in section 105 for this interception, and I lost my absolute mind. For 3 seasons now, ASJ has been guarding the best of the best outside at corner. He's racked up 6 career interceptions in the regular season, 35 pass defenses, and proven those size doubts wrong, racking up 165 tackles in just 46 games. Keep in mind, at this point in his career, Zahn has the same amount of interceptions that his dad did, and about 30 more tackles, even though he plays corner and his dad grew up playing safe. Also, Samuel Jr. has the infamous 3 interception game in his only playoff game of his career so far, and has become a cornerstone in the Los Angeles Chargers secondary. And when you talk about Harbaugh guys, Asante Samuel is a Harbaugh guy, trust me. He's scrappy, willing to be physical even against larger players. And if you watch 26 on tape, you will see that he plays with the biggest heart on the field. He's one of my favorite players on the team, as I mentioned earlier, and he has an opportunity to lead the Chargers secondary this year once again. Think about this new era where the Chargers are going to see a healthy front 7 thanks to Ben Herbert. How much is that going to help Asante Samuel Jr. be the ball hawk that he is and pick off passes when the quarterback is under duress by one of the scariest pass rushes from 2023? And keep in mind, with a more sound rushing attack and a better balanced offense from the Chargers, Asante Samuel Jr. is going to get a lot more time to just simply relax on the sideline. Keep that stamina up, so late in the game when quarterbacks have to throw the ball down the field, he's at full strength, he's at full stamina. The odds have been stacked against this guy time and time again in his career, and he has always risen to the occasion. And I know he's going to rise to the occasion in the near future. Pro Bowls and Super Bowls on this team. My favorite Zont moment is undoubtedly that Devontae Adams interception. But the Superman interception definitely deserves a shout out. The Chargers beat the Chiefs in that game as well. Comment your favorite Asante Samuel Jr. moment in the comment section below. And make sure that you guys comment which player you want to see me cover next. And if you want to check out my content, I'm NFL Mike on all platforms. Super easy to find. Trying to boost up my YouTube channel. So if you're a YouTube viewer, come on over to the NFL Mike YouTube. Just how good can Zont's career be in this new culture? The sky's the limit. But I guess sooner rather than later, the ball definitely won't lie.
Whoa, Mike. Way to come on the scene. Way to kick down the door. Way to shoot it off the confetti cannons, light the fireworks and the sparklers and say, I'm here, I'm NFL Mike, and I got something to say.
Bolt an absolute dog.
An absolute dog. My God. I'm going to be saying that all episode now.
Let's go.
What a great insight into Asante Samuel Jr., man. I mean, there's always been talk around this guy. I remember us wanting to get him in the draft, but like, I don't watch college football. So I trust everybody else going like, oh, we want this guy. Okay, well, let's hope we get this guy. And then we do. And it's been exciting. He has been an absolute playmaker. And it does feel like he is a Harbaugh guy. It does feel like Harbaugh is going to bring out the best in him. And I'm excited to see what that means.
Totally. It was interesting too, the whole, you know, because I didn't know much about the aspect of him and his dad, because they don't really comment on each other very much. So there's clearly something there. And hey, a little extra motivation, it'd be great. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when Zonk got drafted. Me and Kevin were at our brother-in-law's bachelor party.
Yeah.
We started
freaking out
our minds. Yeah. Because we were like out in the backyard, like everyone was doing something together. And then it was like Chargers on the clock. I mean, Kevin sprinted in and we were both, this is like one of the few, like, we have to pick this guy type of, especially like second round, like later on in the draft, usually first round, you have a guy that you like, we have to have him. Mm-hmm. But me and Kevin were both like, we were chanting like Zonk. And then they had that, he showed the clip of him picking him and we just started losing it. Yeah. It was so much fun.
Yeah, that was a hell of a day.
Well, like you heard Mike said, folks, put it down in the comments who you want to see him focus on next for the next Bolt of the Week. But I'm
going to make just a request right now. Throw it out there. I want to know more about Dicker the Kicker. I'm a real big fan. There's some Germany. I'm sure he grew up in Germany.
I thought it was Japan.
Japan started with a DJ. I'm sure there's some stories from Japan. Yeah. See, I need it because I thought he was from Germany, and I he's not. He's from Japan. Yeah, so sure.
Ooh,
look
right.
at us!
Look at us Make here, Mike. Well,
yeah, I'm so excited to have you part of the podcast now, man. Looking forward to this. Cool. It's going to be fun.
This was a lot of fun. I can't wait for the next one. And hopefully you can't either, folks. So let him know. Go follow him over on YouTube for crying out loud. Look at what he just did here. You're going to find more of that over on his YouTube channel. So definitely go check it out. All right. Well, folks, time to go on to the next segment. Ask Bolt Fam. Let's go, Geo, go.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Hey guys,
don't jam a thumb up his bottle. That's what you do.
I wet myself in excitement.
Both are hungry.
Your thoughts are like totally appreciated.
Catch you later, dude.
Okay, love you, boy.
That's right, folks. Time for Ask Bolt Fam, and we start at the top with OM Run, who asked the question.
You know what's nice? The silence in my head and adrenal glands about the Chargers. I barely think about the Chargers unless I'm watching you guys. That's trust. Also, the increase in views and likes for all Charger content. Fans are back.
I can't wait to see this. We're back. I can't wait to see what this first game, this home game is going to be like. Because excitement is through the freaking roof right now, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I hope. I would love to be in a Charger stadium where we have home field advantage again. That would be freaking awesome. Oh,
come on, it's got to happen. It has to be. And just the amount of interaction. I mean, even just with us, we're seeing like more. We're getting a lot more interaction just from random yahoos that try to come in and sometimes stomp on our nuts. And it's like you can't do that. It's not happening, buddy. We got Jim Harbaugh.
Get
off my nuts. That's my nuts. We take the John Lott approach. But
get off these nuts.
Get off these nuts. OM Run, we're with you, buddy. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Leo, who asked the question.
Now that the draft has passed, the next major thing coming up is the schedule release. Chargers triple dip with enemy or something else. And all of the possible primetime games, which would you want to go to? Kill us, you buy.
Yeah, it comes out four days when this is released. That's comes out on the 11th, right? Is when they announce the schedule.
I thought I heard 9th.
Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong a lot. Hope you're right. I'm wrong. Let's go on the 9th.
I don't know. I saw the NFL like dropped like a schedule release coming in May, like without any specific date, like just sometime in May.
May 9th? Now,
I think it's May 9th. Yeah.
It's
like Christmas in May.
That's
in your face, Kevin. Yeah.
Suck it.
Suck it, me.
Okay, me.
No, I have some hopes and dreams for this schedule release, whether or not that'll happen. I really, 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 really hope that the Chargers go to Munich and play the Carolina Panthers in Munich, Germany.
That'd be awesome.
I want to go do that so freaking bad. And I think I may have possibly gotten my wife on board with the idea.
Ooh. I think I may have possibly.
May, it That's could, possibly, might.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Hey, I briefly mentioned it on the other side of the room one day, and she didn't tell me I was an idiot. So things are looking up, boys.
No. She didn't nearly say no.
Possibly.
Yeah. But she's definitely coming if it happens. There's no ifs, ands about it. And I would love, and she speaks German. So we need a, you know, translator. Duh.
There you go. A translating trash talker for sure. Yeah.
I got it. Eine Bier bitte, eine Liebe, eine. Yeah, that's it. One beer, please. Eine Leberkäs. Yeah, I got it. I can order one beer, please. One meat sandwich, Leberkäs.
One meat sandwich.
One meat sandwich. So we'll be fed.
Doesn't matter what meat. Just
we'll
meat.
Be toasty. Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping for in the schedule release. What about you guys?
Do you guys think that they're going to triple dip with the anime?
I don't think so. I've truly enjoyed those videos. They've been awesome because the digs that they make at the other teams is chef's kiss.
Yeah.
But they have to change it up, I think. I think
new coach.
I don't know.
New
you,
release.
You don't think so?
Well, I think they might still dig. Well, yeah. Nobody saw it coming again. We didn't see part two coming, but I think they'll still make digs. I think they'll still have fun, but I think they'll take a different avenue. You know what I mean? I think there might be something else. We might get like Saturday morning cartoons, or we might get TGIF or something like that. You know, something other that.
Or
might be
they
like,
might get some actors involved, like some high end Hollywood shit. Like, let's go, guys.
Yeah,
that'd be fun. Anything's possible with them because they're so creative, and what they come up with is so much fun that it seems like they wouldn't run it back a third time with the same thing with a new coach and new. Everything. It just doesn't
watch
feel like
they do it a third time.
And then I'm just
wrong again. That's exactly what
they're definitely going to do it now. Yeah, they're definitely going to do it now.
Lock it in.
Lock it in.
But
obviously Munich would be fun, but that Ravens like Harbaugh bowl, it was
prime. That will be prime time.
That 100%. Will absolutely be prime time.
So I'd love to go to that game, especially.
Yeah, same.
Hell yeah.
We'll see what it all ends up being there, Leo, but thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Daryl21, who asked the question.
Hey, guys. How the bolt are you three? Hoo-ha. This week's question is a simple one. As we near the schedule release, give us an idea of your top openers or any games in the season, time-wise, you would like to see us play. I'm hoping for the ultimate opener at KC Thursday night. Just send Harbaugh straight to Arrowhead so the entire country can watch Reed shit his pants, throw his headset, and just flat out stare off in confusion. Hoo-ha. And don't tell me you wouldn't love seeing Kelsey get body slammed again by Derwin or Mahomes cry like a bitch. I'm also thinking they schedule a Ravens game as a possible Thanksgiving or Christmas game. What say you? See you Tuesday, guys. Okay, love you, bye.
That was a good one.
Yes. More things to look forward to. I would love us to go smack KC in the mouth first week.
Everyone's fresh.
They don't know what to plan for. We're coming in hot.
You're not going to be able to prep for this team. Those first couple, first week, you're walking into a whole beast of, you don't even know what it is. It's going to be. The fans, we don't even know what it's going to be. You know what I mean?
I don't even know.
We don't even know. How are you going to know?
We'll get a little taste in the preseason, but not the full playbook of everything that's coming at you.
Yeah.
More like a charcuterie, like a light nibble of what we're going to do.
Amuse bouche.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Week one is obviously a fun week, but having going into the Chiefs and beating them right away would be incredible. But you do have to consider the flip side of you're going into Arrowhead off of a Super Bowl. That place is going to be like the environment's going to be pretty incredible. So to win would be great, but that is a tough place to win. I love the idea of a nice week one, kind of a little bit of an alley-oop. Like, let's get things started on the right foot, get a little confidence under our belt, get things going. Give me Carolina week one, and I will be a happy man.
Well, I don't know. Carolina's the one that's supposed to have the international game.
Potentially. It could be. They do have we play them away, and they do have a home game in Germany.
Yes.
But that's not to say that we necessarily get that one.
Right.
But I like the idea of a week one
I'm with you. And that would be good for the started. For the three guys we have, the three ex-Panthers on there. That would be a nice confidence booster for them, too, to be like, oh, thank God.
Get one of those, shrug this off. Get one of those cross-country trips kind of out of the way to get things started when everyone's still fresh.
I like it.
Well, that would mean that we wouldn't go to Germany, though.
Yeah, that would vaccinate the Germans.
Kevin's sorry, dude.
Kevin's already in the field.
It doesn't add up with your storyline. Sorry. Take it back.
Take it back. Yeah, and then Harbaugh, us against Ravens. That absolutely feels like a Thanksgiving.
Dude, it's a family affair. Exactly. It feels like a Thanksgiving. It feels like a Christmas. Yeah, two brothers. Yeah, it's the marketing alone on that. It would be out of control.
Yeah, they would be out of their minds not to do that.
Yeah, that'd be silly not to.
So we'll see what happens. I wouldn't mind any of those scenarios, and I'm open. I'm ready. I'm just ready. My body.
I just want to know what my schedule is going to be for the next 8 months or whatever.
We need to start planning now. So
yeah,
give us this NFL on May 9th at some point in time. But thank you, Daryl21, for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Marco DeLeo, who asked the question.
Hey, guys, how do you guys feel about the potential of Marquez VS coming to L.A.? I never really liked that dude, but heck, if he does sign with us, I might have to force myself. Anyways, I regress. Your shots. Kill of you bye. Oh, yeah. And F the Raiders, Broncos, and big ass to the Chiefs.
Suck my butt. I say that since the last episode. I've said it three or four times.
I love that. I'm so happy to hear that.
And I told my wife, because she didn't listen to the episode, I told my wife all about it, and she kind of giggled too. She's like, that's pretty funny. And my son thought it was the funniest shit he'd ever heard in his life. Good. Suck my butt.
Oh, thank God. It lives on.
Yes.
But yeah, Marquez VS coming to LA. I mean, it's just making it's good. There are pros and cons I could see to all of it. You know, the pros is you get a veteran guy to come in, play cheap the game, deal. Cheap deal, and can compete with the rest of the guys. But it's already pretty bloated, and I think we're already kind of getting our hearts set on some seventh round picks making the team, like Brendan Rice and Cornelius. So
he's a chief.
Ex-chief, yeah. An ex-Packer.
But hey, we'll look at it this way. What if he does better with Justin than he did with Mahomes? That's something you can put in your pipe.
Fire. Yeah, mm-hmm. That gives us a little bit of something.
Yeah. But yeah, Mahomes was holding him back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I like that take. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Maybe the wide receivers in Kansas City were really good and Mahomes just sucks.
There you go.
My thoughts exactly.
Yeah, okay. Dude, I like that.
Speaking of which, I just saw a video. I'm going to have to share it with you guys. They showed a video of Mahomes at the Kentucky Derby, and I think it was a Kentucky Derby, and somebody gave him a football, was like, hey, can you throw it up to my buddy in the top stands? He's like, okay, I'm Patrick Mahomes. This is how we do it, or something like that. And he takes the ball and he hucks it. It doesn't even get close to the guys. It's so funny. You just see the ball go.
Man, that dude never loses. So I got to see this.
Ah, it's so funny. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it would lean into the theory of Mahomes sucking and holding.
I'll see it when I believe it.
Yeah. So we'll see. There, Marco, but thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Gavin Gibson.
Gavin,
ask the question.
With all the current news with wide receiver moves and wide receivers we got in the draft, who do you see as the main weapons for Herbert come the start of the season? Do you see more of the draft wide receivers being used on special teams to free space for vet wide receivers? As always, boat up, love you, bye.
It's interesting because, I mean, the top wide receivers for Herbert are gone. And so now it becomes like, all right, well, I think everybody was leaning into the theory that Palmer was going to be the number one wide receiver. But you've also got Quentin Johnston, we drafted first round. You've got now McConkey coming in off of his second round pick. And then there's a whole slew of other wide receivers just kind of sitting off waiting in the wings. Yeah, and DJ Chark.
Gold.
Yeah.
Come tight end extraordinaire.
Weapon. Yeah. Tip of the spear.
Tip of the spear, baby.
Can you imagine a universe where Joe Alt's the number one receiver?
That'd be some wild
shit.
That
was their move the whole time. It wasn't come in and play right tackle. It was a smoke screen. Because, I mean, hey, how are you going to tackle that guy?
Good luck. Gavin's question is who's the main weapons? Yes. We all know Joe Alt's a weapon.
Yeah, he's the main tip of the spear, baby.
J.K. Dobbins, weapon. Gus Edwards, weapon. Yeah.
Weapon. We got
weapons.
Weapons.
But as far as like the number one wide receiver, I think it's still going to be Josh Palmer to start.
Think so?
I think they, yeah, I just think that they have the most, they'll click the most. It'll be kind of off and running. He has the most experience with him. So I think that'll be the guy at the beginning. You know, it could shift and change over time. But I would assume that's going to be the guy he's looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, like third down needs a play. That's the guy he has the most trust in, like, experience with. I think that's going to be the guy he's looking for. I think people underestimate Josh Palmer a lot, really bad. I think he's looking for an opportunity to prove himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think part of that has to do with some of the injuries. He's had some injuries that have held him out, and he's even fought through some injuries in situations that maybe he probably should not have and maybe made it worse. But now that you've got Ben Herbert here as your strength and conditioning guy, that could be a whole different ball of wax.
Hopefully it makes a difference for him.
Yeah. He's also been behind Keenan and Mike for
exactly. Yeah, he's been in their shadow. So he might just, this could be his year. And it's
his coming out party, dude. Let's go.
Yeah, let's make it happen, Mr. Palmer. But there you go. Gavin Gibson, thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Tony Francis, who asked the question. What's up, guys? I'm super stoked for the 2024 schedule release this week so I can begin to plan which away game I will be attending this year. It was real interesting to hear on last week's podcast how Kev went from loving QJ, thinking he was going for more than 1,000 yards with 8 touchdowns next season, to basically hating him.
What the?
Yikes! Am I right, coach, or what? You're is right. That what you got out of last week's podcast, too? Yeah. My question is this. What can we do as a family to get Kev out of his QJ hole he has thrown himself down? What could have possibly happened over the past few weeks to convince Kev that QJ is now so bad he might not even make the team? Dear Kev, I love you. Not sure if you needed to hear that, but just want you to know that I'm here for you in case you need a hug or just want to chat anything QJ related that could bring back that typical cheerful and positive outlook you once had. My 2024 prediction, Harbaugh will make QJ great. K, love you, bye.
Kevin, defend yourself. You got some explaining to do.
This is some bullshit. I never said that. Kyle was so sleepy last Didn't episode. You? He just wanted to start some shit. No, not no. I think you QJ shifted. Is going to be great. I have never been you on the hate QJ shifted. Train. It was asked who would be. Who do I think is going to have the best season? Could he be wide receiver 2 right behind? Yeah, we didn't talk about that. I think QJ's great. I'm excited to see him play. I'm excited for him to do well. I'm invested in his storyline. I'm invested in him as a person. And Kyle's negative, shitty attitude at the end of the episode, yes, last week, took me down a dark hole. Kevin. And you know how I feel about Gavin, dark holes.
Gavin Gibson just said, who's the main weapon? You didn't even hint at Quentin Johnston.
Yeah, because you were. I didn't even answer. I didn't answer.
Exactly. You don't even. You hate him so much. You couldn't even talk. If you really loved Quentin Johnston, you would have spoke up in the last question.
I love Quentin Johnston. I love him.
Oh. If you love him so much, why don't you order his jersey?
Sure.
Do it.
Well.
Prove it.
Well, fine.
Oh, this is so fun.
I will.
Quentin Johnston jersey coming right up.
I want the good one
too. I will. Like okay.
Nike Elite one.
The 360 all day?
Yeah. That's how much you love him, huh?
Love
him. Love
him. I don't even need all the letters. Love him.
Love him. Love him.
Okay, love him. Bye.
Oh, love him. God. I'm crying. I'm so
But no, Tony Francis, I do not hate QJ. What is going on?
But you do need a hug.
Always. My nickname's Huggin'.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the back and forth between you guys. Kevin, just too much. Let me just keep pushing you to the order.
There's too much hate in this world, Kev. You need to let it go, dude.
Yeah. I'm going to eat some Advil. That was too good. Tony, thank you, buddy, for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Big Red Bolts fan who asked the question.
Is it a burn? Is it a plane? Nay, it's a shark. Not the oceanic meat muncher, good sir. Oh, that would be a shark. And though he may fly like a bird, he's no lark. But the speed he brings when healthy could provide quite a spark. Coach Lau's room was so empty that if you spoke it would echo. After disaster hit us hard and we forgot to pay the gecko. So what did we expect? A reimbursement checko? Wait, what is this? What has happened with this group? Did the staff turn humble broth into soul-saving soup? Please someone tell me that we're not being duped. What once was pure caca may now be more poop. Can we carry 7 or 8 or 9? Will we be cutting some studs? Who will find a team that will give them a place they may shine? Who saw this coming? Maybe your ass, but not mine. Is our receiver room now going to be fine? Caleb, you bye. Oh, and don't forget your P's and Q's. F the Raiders, the Chiefs, and the donkeys in groups of 3s or 2s. Whatever floats your boats, that's between you's and you's.
Golf clap.
Golf well clap. Done.
Love the effort. Love the rhymes.
So much fun. Yes.
Get on up. It's bobsled time. Let's go. Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody saw this coming. Everybody was crying about what this wide receiver room was going to be after letting Keenan Allen and Mike Williams go. And now there might 12. Not be enough room.
So there was room. I didn't look at the exact number that Dan had put, but we might be able to add another wide receiver and still be under what Keenan was going to make. Because we still had room in that number. So how wild would that be? This is just straight competition. They are setting up a competitive place where you got to earn your job. Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is it's good competition for everybody. And that's what I think is so great about all of this is that we are not just with wide receivers, although we've certainly gotten it with DJ Chark, but we're getting players that want to be on this team. They're not just here to collect a paycheck. They're not just here to, you know, say they have a job or anything like that. They are here to not just compete, but they want to compete with Harbaugh. They want that opportunity to be a part of the comeback season with Harbaugh to the point that we are getting so many guys for the same price that we would have had one Keenan Allen.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It also makes training camp really, really fun to watch this wide receiver room.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned in the question, it's somebody's going to get cut. That's a really good football player.
Absolutely.
And usually that's not the case. We kind of know going into it, oh, this guy's undrafted. He's probably going to get cut. This guy, that guy. That's a whole nother level of GM that we get to see in Joe Ortiz, you know, like bringing in all these guys. I feel like in the past, Telesco just kept the guys that he drafted because he would be embarrassed if he let them walk. I don't think that's going to be the case. I hope that's not the case anymore. You keep the guys that go out there and perform the best, and that's that. Like, even if that means you have draft picks that you just picked up that aren't going to make the team.
Right.
Competition is just so good for everyone. You have to stay locked in. You have to be focused, ready to rock and roll every day. So it's huge.
Big time. There you go. Big Red Bolts fan. Thank you, buddy, for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Jacob O. C. Ariano, who asked the question.
Hello, fellas. I am convinced that Hort Tits will let Josh Palmer walk in next year's free agency to get a comp pick for 2026. He'll trade away QJ either mid-season or in the 2025 offseason if Ladd McCock is proving to be a wide receiver one and if Brendan Rice shows potential. I don't know how much playing time Rice will get, but he earns a wide receiver 4 spot this year. He will show flashes of what he could potentially become, leading to a larger role for him in the future. What are your thoughts on Hort Tits' philosophy on wide receiver? Do you think they see it as an carousel, or are they just throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks with Justin Herbert? Can't love you, boy. Jacobo.
Yeah, I think
this goes against the jersey I'm going to buy tonight, so I don't agree with this at all.
Sorry, you love him so much, you'll just favorite. Buy whatever team he goes to next, you'll just buy that.
I want jersey. What's you best for him, yeah. That
much.
Yeah.
You want a Ladd McCock jersey is what you want.
Yeah. You can customize that shit. I might be going to customize myself a jersey. But I don't think that'll happen. I think I can't wait for everyone to be surprised by what he's going to do this year. You know, because he had a couple bad drops. That's what everyone remembers. But he had a decent year for a rookie wide receiver being thrust into a position with injuries. Yeah. So, and no, they just had a video I saw on Reddit posting where he's out there catching. He's doing extra stuff to get ready because he knows what's on the line. He absolutely knows what's on the line. So, I don't know if you trade, but it's only worth trading him is if he's doing great. If he's not doing anything, you're not going to get anything for him.
Right.
So that's my thought on it, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think a lot of these 1 year deals are lending to the idea that there's going to be guys that are, we just let walk, that aren't going to get extended, that won't be traded, but they're just going to let them kind of walk. And there's, especially in the running back room, I mean, there's a couple of positions that it feels like that there's a lot of talent out there that could come in and fill the spot. It's tough at quarterback. Obviously, that's not going to be a position that you don't extend and keep forever. But there's a lot of good wide receivers out there that we've proven with these vets that we've signed to 1 year deals during the last couple of weeks, and always coming out of the draft, there's always wide receiver talent. So I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes kind of a carousel of how he's continuing to accrue these compensatory picks. Is you draft a couple wide receivers, and then the one that sticks, you keep them, maybe give them, they get their 4 year rookie deal, and then you do it again. It does feel like potentially that there's a look there. I don't think it's to throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. I think they just had to overhaul that room so much because of Keenan and Mike leaving that they just had a lot of work to do.
Right. Yeah. And you always need that competition between guys. You know, that's what Harbaugh's said, you know, in some of these calls is like, you know, we're looking for guys to compete. And so let's get some competitive wide receivers right now that are really going to want a spot on this team, and they're going to come out and they're going to compete. And that means we will definitively get the best of the best. So there you go. Jacobo C. Ariano, thank you, buddy, for asking the question. You. Let's move it on now to Kyle, who asked the question.
I think this is certified fresh.
What do you think, Kyle?
This wasn't me, I promise.
Hi, Adam, Kevin, and Kyle. I've been a listener for a year or so now. I think I started last year around the end of the 2022-23 season and before the 2023 draft. I have to say, year number two behind the official Chargers podcast with Matt Money Smith and Chris Harey, but don't worry, it's a very close second. I do listen to many others, but enjoy yours because it matches the fandom that I am, with more layman talk rather than full-blown football nerd analytics type stuff that goes well over my head like a couple others. Anywho, something I've noticed over the past couple weeks since the draft is our excitement over our draft picks. The amount of free agents we've signed, including undrafted free agents, and how we all seem to be in some fairy tale mindset that we're going to have so many beasts on our team. I think we're at about 88 rostered players now. From what Daniel Pomper shared last week, we need to remember there will need to be cuts down to 53. Even Matt Money Smith showed a little concern and questions how many receivers we're going to keep on the roster, saying that the coaching staff and new Chargers culture seems to want to be a rush-heavy offense. With all these new signings, especially in the wide receiver room, we need to be ready for some heartbreak after a huge competition in camp for however many wide receivers we're going to keep. There might be a few of our current favorites that now that get cut and might get signed to other teams before we can sign them to the practice squad. Are you three consciously getting ready for that? Just keep it all in mind because we need to remember that some of the cuts to the 53-man roster are going to hurt and quite possible in our wide receiver room.
It would suck to have to cut one of the seventh round picks and not get them on the practice squad, at least due to those types of things. It's going to be a hard decision for the coaches and a big competition in camp. So get ready. I'm excited and scared for it.
Great question, Kyle.
Yeah, great question. And welcome to the show, obviously. Thank you for being a listener for so long.
Thanks for the number two.
Yeah, appreciate
that. All day.
I'll take that number two. Work
for.
All day. Appreciate you.
But yeah, no, this is it's a valid point. Every year, there's always going to be some heartbreak. I think we've seen that happen in the past with some players that we loved. You know, we saw that with Fajoco, Braden Fajoco going to another team. We had him on the show, loved him as a guy, loved him as a player, just didn't quite work out. So yeah, I think we always need to keep that in mind. But I think really the silver lining is this is going to be a Harbaugh team. This is going to be a team that these guys are, they've talked about wanting to get a tough football team. So if they're, of that 53 man roster, it's going to be a tough 53 group of guys.
Yeah. And I think like my wide receiver heart's already been ripped out of my chest earlier this season.
It's very true.
So already out in my hand. So like it's already hurting. I'm just going to leave it in my hand until they figure out what they want to do and I'll put it back. I can't be upset about it. And this is going to be different because this is a new staff that didn't draft all these players.
Right.
So they seem pretty freaking cutthroat with what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. They got rid of Keenan Allen for, you know, if you look at that, it's like, wow, Tom Telesco wouldn't have done that. He would have stayed on the roster and paid the man and done all the stuff. So this all very much could happen. I'm preparing myself for it. And, you know, it'll be wild to see what they ended up deciding to do, especially if they keep adding people to this wide receiver room. It's just like, it'll be crazy.
Yeah.
But it's not, I understand like the sentiment of like, we're excited to watch these guys play.
Right.
But if you have 88, I don't want 88. I want the best 53. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's like if they get cut, it's because we have somebody better already on our roster that's going to be playing. So, I know we all as fans, we get emotionally connected to these guys and you get ties and you have like these expectations of what they're going to do. But I just want the best 53. I don't care. I don't care if we have two wide receivers and we got to cut six of these guys. Just give me the best 53 that we got and let's go win football games.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, it's we are just so bought into a lot of the narratives, you know, especially like with some of these new guys, even like with the Brendan Rice thing, like that whole, you know, the call that he got was just like, oh, my God, I want nothing but the most for this guy to just absolutely kick ass in the NFL. But if he gets cut, that will be a heartbreaker on an emotional level. But on a game playing level, on a what's best for the team level, what was Tony chanting during the draft at Dave and Buster's? Trust the process.
That's right.
Yeah. You got to trust the process. You got to trust that these guys are doing what is best for the team to get the absolute most competitive football team and just change the way that this team has been playing for previous years. It's going to be fun. I promise. If there's heartbreak, don't worry. It's going to get fun.
I will say this. It will be extra heartbreak too, because the odds of whoever that player is landing on the Raiders is going to be high because Tom Telesco drafted them. It's just a fact. I'm not trying to make anybody super sad, but he already did it with Jalen Guyton today. If he sees one of his guys that he drafted pop up, he's going to put them on his roster.
Give me that.
It'll just continue to be that.
Yes. But Kyle, thank you, buddy, for asking the question. Really appreciate it. Let's move it on now to Andrew Ramsey, who asked the question. Okay, Kyle, you want to play hardball? It's battle rap time. Yo, dog, you've been getting all up on me like a fan from the 80s, but I'm about to bust out some lyrics like you have been having them babies. Get ready for the beats that go harder than Marlon McCree, and you don't want seconds of that, I think we can all agree. See, Kevin is my boy who this guy loves hugging, and Adam is the one that I'll always keep on chugging. But you, on the other hand, won't get a taste of my loving, because I'm not taking that bull that you constantly be shoving. Check it. I'm going harder than Herbert in the fourth.
So pack your bags, boys, because I'm shipping you out to Staley up north. Ain't nobody got it better than us, so I'm about to land this plane to end all the fuss. Given to the fact that I taste of a North Carolina Chargers fan, and I'll spare you the pain of being less than a man. Mr. Kyle Duggan, you are now on the clock. What do you think you'll do against this new kid on the block? My lyrics are pulling up hard into the dock, where I fully expect to see you face down and completely in shock. It's your boy Ramsey out here balling like Riverboat Ron in the East. I can't wait to sit ahead of you at the table, son, and enjoy this victory feast. Mic drop. What do you got to say to that, Kyle? K, love you, bye.
First of all, I don't even remember what you guys are fussing
about. What's the beef?
What did he do?
I was just about to say, I'm okay with that. Last week, I was like, I'm okay with going to battle.
Yeah.
But I still don't know where this what happened? Started.
I do remember there was a few episodes ago where you said something, and I remember Andrew, I think it was in the group chat, said something like, I'm not going to feed you cheese curds anymore, because he had your face on the bolt when we went to the Green Bay Packer game. Like, you were his, I don't know, you were his buddy at the Packer game. Still, and now, all of a sudden, something happened. I don't remember. Was it Kevin? What did you start?
No, Kevin, I'm his favorite now. I'm clearly
shit, Kevin.
Beef. We be beefing. No, I genuinely don't know what this is about, but I love it, all of it. So, come on, Kyle, what you got? You gonna rhyme back or what?
Is this gonna be another Kendrick Lamar diss track coming in hot?
Let's go.
We'll see, I guess. Give him a chance. He's got to write some lyrics, folks. He's not, this isn't Big Red Bolts fan we're dealing with. This is Kyle.
This is an Eminem over here.
Right. So we'll see.
Hang on. Oh, just give you me got a second. Okay. I'm going to get something.
The floor is yours.
Okay. All right, Andrew, you asked for it. Here it comes, buddy.
All right.
Take it away, Adam.
All right, here you go, Andrew. I guess I'm in the middle of all this.
Yo, listen up, Andrew. You better take heed. I'm about to school you in this Chargers creed. We're electrifying, shocking opponents with our play. Taking the field, we don't come to play, we came to slay. You think you're tough, but you ain't seen nothing yet. When our defense hits, you'll be filled with regret. Bolts of lightning coursing through our veins, leaving a trail of destruction, no room for gains. Justin Herbert leading the charge, throwing bombs, connecting with receivers, dropping jaws, setting norms. Lad McCock with the moves, breaking ankles with ease, leaving defenders gasping for air, begging please. Our offense is a powerhouse, unstoppable force, leaving rivals in shambles, staying on course. And don't even get me started on our special teams, blocked kicks, returning punts, fulfilling dreams. So Andrew, step back, recognize the might of the Chargers army ready to fight. We're here to dominate, to claim our throne. So bow down now or face the unknown.
Oh man. Shit.
And for those just real quick, for those that are wondering, why is Bulldog doing that voice? Andrew asked me to do the Cocomelon Daddy Shark voice. I just want to clarify that. That's the only reason why I'm doing that.
Oh my God, that was awesome.
Ball's wow. Back in your court, Andrew.
Jesus.
What you got, Andrew?
Is this going to be a whole off-season feud?
What? Coach? What? Be a hype man.
All right. Well, we'll see where this dramatic back and forth takes us. But Andrew Ramsey, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to the K-Man, who asked the question. Question, do the three of you plan on attending home game at SoFi together this season? If so, can we fans expect an appearance at Thunder Alley pregame so we can get photos and autographs? Keep up the great work.
You want art? You want us to ruin something with our autographs?
Yeah, you want us
you to. You sure?
I don't know. Bold strategy came in. We'll see how it plays out. But yes, we definitely always plan to attend the very least the home opener. But our
we
goal
have season
year,
tickets. So
yeah, we've got
go
season tickets. So we definitely want to go to as many games as possible. But the absolute plan is whatever the home opener is, book it.
It'll be our fourth year in a row. Fourth.
No, because 2020 we didn't go. 21, 22, and 23.
Yeah, so fourth.
This will be our fourth.
Fourth coming in hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that and we absolutely, we get there early. We hang around Thunder Alley. We can always find us at the Rivers Lake Yacht Club. We're usually huddled in under there, getting as much shade as we can.
And then we just mob through
in Dire Bolt Club. We're at
you'll find us for sure.
You'll definitely find us if you go to that home opener, whatever it ends up being. We'll find out here soon. You'll be able to mark a date, and so will us. We'll be able to do that too.
Yeah, we'll let you guys know ahead of time if we're all going to a game or if Kyle's going to a game or however we work it out. So we'll keep you updated so we can.
The goal is as many as possible, but definitely the home opener. So we'll see you there. K-Man, thank you for asking the question. And we go out of Ask Bolt Fam with Athayr Kadair.
Athayr
Kadair.
Who asked the question? Cha-cha-chat, my boys! I love you so much! A++ will dog my baby! Kevin and Coach Kyle, just A+, baby! I want to start with my bold and crazy prediction for the first 5 games of the season, baby! Chargers 4-1, 2-0 in the AFC West, wins over the champs and the Faders second running back Gus the Bus Edwards will be average 136 yards per game at 12 touchdowns in the first 5 games, baby! Whoa. Defense will be top 5, baby! Now to my question, Coach, my baby! I start with you. Most interesting training camp matchup. Joe Walt versus our edge rushers or Ladd McConkey versus our secondary, baby. LOL, I'm taking the wide receiver because who is in the secondary will start, baby. Kevin and Woldive, please make your pick after Coach. And you think my bold prediction is crazy? LOL, let's go the AFC West Bolts, AFC West Champs 24, baby.
He's back, baby. He's back.
He is ready.
Football's getting close, and Athayr is back.
It's in his veins.
Oh, dude.
Now, I want
got a little shameless positivity in that.
I love it.
Stats, too.
I mean, I just want to
12 touchdowns in the first 5 games? Let's go. But
is it 12 just for Gus, or is that the whole team?
Just Gus.
Just Gus.
And the he's boss. At 136 a game.
Woo. He's out of his mind. Is it crazy? Like it. Yes. No. Do I love it?
No.
Yes, I love it. And it's crazy. And I'm all for it.
Are you going to get a Gus Edwards jersey?
I'm not made of money. Yes, I'll get a Gus Edwards jersey.
I'm not made of money, but yes, I will.
But yeah.
Fine.
Until challenge my wife me tells me no, I say yeah, yes.
Put it on the secret credit card.
The just Venmo kidding.
Honey, there's no secret credit card. You know about everything.
Guys, I think I might be all in on this coach's jersey with a polo with Harbaugh's name on the back.
Dude, let's go. I want to make one.
Do it.
Bring it to fruition. We know some people.
Wear a headset and a hat and khakis, and I'm Coach Harbaugh.
Yeah. Do it.
Where do you gotta wear cleats?
Shoot, that sucks.
Okay. You're going to be clinking around Thunder Alley on the home opener. That'll be fun.
No, that's not the idea, though. It shouldn't be a costume. It's like you wear a jersey. You're not wearing pads and a cup and cleats to the game.
Or
do you wear a cup?
Are you, Kevin?
Kevin jockstrap Duggan.
Let's go.
All right. Well, first
check
of all.
The nuts.
I love the prediction, but the question, What is going to be the most interesting training camp matchup? Joe Alt versus the edge rushers or Ladd McConkey versus the secondary?
And yeah, I think that I think being that he was the number one draft pick, Joe Alt versus our pass rushers is going to be really fun to watch, whether it be Joey Bosa or Khalil Mack. But kind of a twist to the question. I don't know if this is answering it perfectly, but it's what I'm most excited for is to see Jesse Minter versus Greg Roman and watching some of these scrimmages.
Holy cow.
How they're kind of like matching up with each other and what, because it's just going to look so different. Like,
right.
Players are players. There's only so many techniques and moves. And we've seen Joey and Khalil's pass rushes. But like to see the coordinator matchups and how they're going to manipulate stuff and the way it's going to look with both of them on the field in these little scrimmages. That's going to be really, really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
All right. Kev, you take it. Do you think wide receivers or the linemen?
I'm excited for all the wide receivers for sure. And what our second, I think I'm more interested in what the cornerbacks are going to do against these wide receivers. Cause we have a lot of unproven cornerbacks that, you know, Tarheeb Still, Cam Hart, like some of these guys that one of these guys is going to have to play, you know, unless you're bringing in a whole bunch of cornerbacks like they're doing with the wide receiver room. That'll be fun to watch. But in all honesty, Joe Alt at right tackle with a place he hasn't played. Really, you know, he did it for like a training summer. That's what he did at Notre Dame. Him versus some of the best edge rushers in the league at training camp is going to say a lot for how safe Justin Herbert's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think McConkey against the secondary, like I get it because the wide receiver room is so heavy. You want to know, okay, what's our second round draft pick? How is he going to perform out there? But all of this, everything that's been happening as far as the draft and the free agents that we picked up has all been about protecting Justin Herbert, creating that run game, giving him time to throw the ball. And that starts with that first overall pick for the Chargers in Joe Alt. And if he can hold his own against Bosa and Mack and Thule and, you know, all those other guys, like that's going to be such a like a sigh of relief of just like, okay, it's going to be all right. We're going to be okay.
Totally.
It's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to all of it, Athier. I don't think there's a wrong answer in any of this. I think this is all going to be fun. All the more reason for us to try to go to a training camp to see some of this shit in action, if you know what I'm saying. So we're with you, Athier. Thank you, buddy, for asking the question. And thank you, everybody, for asking questions and Ask Bolt fam. We greatly appreciate it. This was a fun episode. And next week, we're going to have a schedule over. We're going to have some
schedule
dates.
Party.
We're going to know if there's
I'll bring the pizza.
Okay,
schedule fine. Party.
Twist my arm, why don't you?
Polish pizza? What is it? What does Polish pizza look like?
They don't really have that. Polish sausages, though. I had really one here. It's pretty good. Yeah, I know. No.
So you're bringing the sausage.
I'm bringing the sausage. I'll bring your Polish sausage.
I'm bringing
party.
That meat sandwich.
Let's go.
All right. Well, thank you, folks, for hanging with us. We greatly appreciate it. I think that's going to do it for us. But any final thoughts there, guys?
I'm going to go buy a jersey.
No extra thoughts.
Yeah. Again,
enjoy that jersey, Kev. QJ.
And don't forget, folks, to put down in the comments who you want to see NFL Mike look at in the next episode, in the next time we have them on. But that's going to do it for us here, folks. Don't forget to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.
Bye.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Mike, what are you doing?
Oh, just setting up my Christmas tree.
Mike, it's May. Why are you setting up your Christmas tree?
Didn't you hear, Bill? It's Christmas in May. The Charger Chat podcast said so.
What are you talking about?
Bill, the past 2 years now, the Charger social media team has absolutely killed it when it comes to the schedule release, and they hold nothing back. This is their week to go 3 years in a row undefeated in the schedule release. So, I think it's time we made it a tradition. We already got our draft gifts. Now we just need to wait for Old St. Nick to come down that tree with a banger of a schedule.
You're sick, Mike. Let me help you with that tree.
Christmas in May. Let's make it a thing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.